Aren't you glad God gave you songs to sing and voices to sing them with? I wonder sometimes how it would feel to have so much love inside and so much joy and so much praise and not be able to have a satisfactory release for it. Surely he'd be like a keg of dynamite. Praise God. He's looking for a place to go off somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Son of God. He is coming again. He sent us to prepare the way. You know, most of the people in our world don't know that Jesus is coming again. You know, most of the people in the world, a sizable percentage of them in all the corners of the world, never even heard the name Jesus. They don't even know who he is, let alone to know that he's coming again. God has commissioned us with the word. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he sent us to prepare the way into every highway, into every hedge, that we're to go and compel them to come. Compel them to come in, for he's coming again. How many of you believe that God's got something for us tonight that's good?
Hallelujah.
All right. How many of you believe that I'm open enough to the Holy Spirit to allow it to come through? Okay. All right. Good. Well, we're going to get it. Father, you heard that. You said if any two would agree as touching anything, they're more than two. So bless God that we're going to get something good out of his word tonight. Let's, if you found that opening, now I want you to just hold your finger there and just close your eyes and let's claim the covenant promises from God. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the promise in your word that when it goes forth, that it will never ever return void or empty or fruitless. But that it will produce the kind of fruit that you have intended. That it will prosper in the very thing for which you have purposed it. And it will accomplish the part of your plan that you've ordained from before the foundation of the earth. We know, Father, that there's not a single passage in this scripture that was not inspired by your Spirit, that was not given unto us for our instruction and our upbuilding in the nurture. And the admonition of the faith. We know, Father, that you have something special for us tonight. We've come tonight like the blind man at the gate, or the lame man at the gate, beautiful. We look into your eyes tonight expecting you to give us something good from your word. We desire the sincere milk of your word tonight that we may grow thereby. We want to be pleasing children unto you. We want to know what our inheritance is. We want to know what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We want to know what you've provided for us in and through him and what you want us to have. We want to know tonight, Father, what promises you've made to us and how we are to go about appropriating them and receiving them as real into our lives. We thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us so clearly in the word. And now, Father, as a minister of your gospel, I just open myself to your Spirit. I lay aside everything else, every other care, and I open my heart, mind, and body to the move of your Spirit. I yield myself unto you completely and allow you to operate through me tonight to speak the words of the living God unto the people of God. Father, we want to know tonight not what does man say, not what does the world say, but what is thus saith the Lord? What do you have to say to us tonight, Father? And we thank you for that which you're going to. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For that which you're going to provide, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read out of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and I believe it's going to be a starting place for us. We shared a portion of this scripture this morning, one aspect of it. But I want to look at a completely different aspect of this story of Abraham's obedience to God as he went to Mount Moriah and was ready to sacrifice his son, what God did for him there, and see what God's provision for us is today. Beginning to read at the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went out of the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We read this story of Abraham, and we know a bit about the man Abraham, how he was a great man of faith, and how God had abundantly blessed his life, and how God had imputed his faith unto him as righteousness, and how God had made him the father of many nations. And you do know that Abraham is your spiritual father and my spiritual father. He's the first man of faith in God's word. But you know, this story shows us something about why Abraham was blessed so of God, and why God was able to bless him in the way he did. And I want to use it as a springboard tonight for something that I believe God's people need to hear today. We sang the song a few minutes ago that Jesus is coming again. We sang the other song, I Hear a Sound. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It is true that Jesus is coming. And if it is true that Jesus is coming, then some other things are also happening in our world today. The Bible tells us that at the time of the end, when Jesus of Nazareth is about to come back again to take his church, things are not going to be getting better, they're going to be getting worse. Now, if the circumstances in the world are getting worse, for everybody that's in the world, there also is a danger of them becoming worse for us. You pick up your newspaper and they're talking about gasoline at $1 a gallon. Gas is now almost 90 cents a gallon in and around Atlanta. Gasoline is selling for in excess of $1 a gallon in other parts of the country. I read in the paper today that budget department in the United States government has said that we are due for a recession late this year, full-fledged recession, later this year and on through 1980. It's going to get more and more difficult to pay your bills. It's going to get more and more difficult to provide for your families. It's going to become more and more difficult just to provide the necessities of life. In the end of time, there will be great famines, the Word of God says. There will be famines, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be great signs in the heavens and wonders in the earth below before the great and terrible day of the Lord God comes. Now, as long as we are in this world, that must touch us in some way. Those situations and those circumstances. They have to have some contact with us. We have contact with them. We're in the world. But Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of the book of John this prayer, just before he was crucified. He said, Father, he prayed this for you and for me. He said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil that's in it. I believe the Bible gives us good instruction for what our attitude should be concerning life in these days. Now, some of you may be saying to yourself, well, where's he going with this? Yes, it's true that all these things are going to come on the world. It is true that things are going to be difficult round about, but it's not going to touch the children of God. Some of you know that it's already touched the children of God. Some of you that are sitting here tonight have already been touched by this very thing. And many others in the body of Christ have been touched and hurt by it. Now, if it's true that Jesus Christ is the answer, how is he the answer to this problem? How is he the answer to living in today's world? How is he the answer to living next year and the year after that and the year after that? The time between now and the time when Jesus comes to snatch us away. How is he the answer? Abraham gives us a clue. And it's in the 14th verse. I want you to see it. God has made an agreement with you and with me. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means in the Hebrew simply this: the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Now, do you remember what I said to you out of the 33rd Psalm earlier this evening, the 9th verse? God's word said this: for he spake and it was done. He commanded and there was a possibility that it was going to come to pass. No, he commanded and it stood fast. Abraham said, I have seen a demonstration of God's ability to provide. Here I am on a lonely mountaintop. I'm going to sacrifice my son in accordance with the word of God. I'm willing to plunge the knife into him, to shed his life's blood at God's command. I'm willing to do that. But God, in his love, has provided for me another way. He saw to it that there was, you remember the ram that was stuck in the thorns over here this morning? Caught in the bramble bushes with his horns. God provided a sacrifice. In the middle of nowhere, God saw that there was a sacrifice available there, that Abraham did not have to slaughter his son. He took the ram that God had provided, and Abraham said, in essence, this: bless the name of the Lord my God. He will provide. Now, if that doesn't do something for you, it should. God says, I'll provide. I'll do it. Me. God Almighty said, I will provide your needs. In the New Testament, the Philippians, the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse, Paul said this: and my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of your needs, not just the bare essentials, not just food but no clothing, not just clothing but no gasoline. Do you need gasoline to get to work? Then God will provide it for you. Do you need food to keep your body healthy and nourished? Do you? How many of you need food? God will provide it for you. Do you need clothing to keep your bodies warm? How many of you do? God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, what kind of a God would he be if he couldn't put clothes on his children's back? What kind of a father would he be if he couldn't provide food on the table for his kids? My earthly father was good enough to do that. Even when things were really tough, my dad put food on the table. He put clothes on my back. He had a warm bed for me to sleep in. He loved me. He nourished me. He saw that my needs were met, all of them. Shall not our heavenly Father do the same? Do you think that he's any less than our earthly fathers? God Almighty will provide. Jehovah Jireh. I don't want you to ever forget that Hebrew word. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Now I want to show you a lot of scripture tonight. There's a lot of it here that I believe we need to see. Sometimes we forget whose family we belong to. Sometimes we forget whose kids we are. Sometimes we forget the covenant that God has given unto us. Sometimes we forget that he's more than enough for us. Sometimes we think that the only thing God's good for is to open the gate when we come to New Jerusalem. But he cares about us here. He cares about us here. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 2. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Is that God's word? It is the word of God, isn't it? Did he give Jesus for us? If he spared not his own son, then so shall he also with him give us freely all things. Now somebody may think I'm crazy, but I don't want to say it ostentatiously. But if gasoline is $3 a gallon, God will see that I have enough gasoline. I'm not worried about it. I'm just not concerned about it. If hamburger, I don't even know what hamburger's selling for. I'll tell you how close a track I keep of this. The last time, now some of you are really going to think this is crazy. The last time I priced hamburger, it was 33 cents a pound, 3 pounds for a dollar. Now that will tell you how long ago it was I thought about the price of hamburger. Now I know hamburger's not 33 cents a pound anymore, 3 pounds for a dollar. I know it's like everything else. But as you can see, we have plenty to eat. God provides for us. And if hamburger goes to $4 a pound, we'll still have enough hamburger to eat. We'll still have enough milk to drink if it goes to $8 a gallon. I'm not concerned about that, and nor should you be. God said, I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and the gold in the world. It belongs to me, and you are my children. I gave my life's blood for you on Calvary. I shed the blood of my only son. He bore for you. And I'll give you everything else too. He sure would be a dumb God to buy us out of the devil's clutches with the blood of the Lord Jesus. and then let us starve to death. Hey? Hey? Would you adopt a son or a daughter and then let them go hungry? Would you adopt a child and then put him out on the mountaintop and just let him weather away? No, of course you wouldn't. Neither would God. But now I want to show you something about our part. That's God's part. Go back to Genesis 22, please. I want to look at three Old Testament characters tonight. And I want us to examine what God requires of us if we want Jehovah Jireh to work in our lives. Number one is in the story of Abraham. God had made Abraham a promise. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to multiply your seed, and all of the nations of the world will call themselves blessed in you. Abraham waited 25 years for that promise to come to pass. Finally, one day in their old age, Abraham and Sarah had a boy. They called his name Isaac. He was the child of the promise. This was the son through whom God's promise would be manifested, and his descendants would eventually number greater than the sands of the seashore, greater than the multitudes of the stars in number. It was all Abraham had was his son. That's all. The only way he would ever have the promise of God fulfilled in his life was through this boy Isaac. That's all he had. But he took the boy to the mountaintop and he sacrificed him to the Lord. He surrendered everything he had unto God. He dedicated it totally and completely without recall unto God Almighty. Now suppose you had $10. And you needed to buy $50 worth of groceries. What would you do with the $10? Would you go down and buy as much as $10 would buy? If you did what Abraham did, you'd take the $10 to the mount and give it to God. Do you see it? You take what you got and give it to God. You must, if you're going to participate in the fullness of God's riches, the fullness of God's blessings, and the fullness of God's promise, you must be willing to surrender or to give up everything you have. You must turn loose of your own resources. So many times people are not receiving healing from God. Do you know why? Because they have not surrendered their other resources. They always have a plan B. And if that doesn't work, they have a plan C. And if that doesn't work, they've got a plan D. And if that doesn't work, they'll pray and get a plan E. All the while somebody's praying their heart out, trying to get plan A for them, which is God's divine healing. But they can't get it because they got another alternative and another alternative and another alternative. And they put a little bit of their trust in God and a little bit of their trust in man and a little bit of their trust in someone else and a little bit of their trust in something else. And God's not able to give it to them because they wouldn't do what Abraham did. He said, I give it all to God. I put my trust in Him. Total and absolute and complete surrender of all of one's resources unto God. You cannot get the blessings of Abraham, as the song says, with a Thomas kind of faith. You will not get Abraham's blessing with a faith that says, unless I put my hand in his side, I shall not believe that he's alive. That kind of faith will not get you Abraham's blessing. You must have Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith says this: Jehovah Jireh. I give up the son through whom my descendants will be named. I give him to God because I know that God's promised me. He's promised me that the world will have a seed bearing my name. And I know God's able to raise that boy from the dead even if I take his life. Surrender it to God completely and totally and permanently. Give it to Him. and then let him provide, you will not get God's provision. You won't get God's provision any other way. He requires total and absolute surrender to him. Don't put your trust in anything else. As long as your trust is vested in something else, you are going like this to God, and you're holding him at arm's length, and he will not be able to reach you with his blessings. He won't be able to reach your need with his blessings because you're holding them away. So many of God's people, I've done it time and time and time again. I feel like a jerk because I have. And God Almighty is out there saying, son, if you just receive from me, just believe in me. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. We'll hold him away. We'll say, now, I'll check you out a little later, Father. I'm seeing if this will work first. God's blessing won't come that way. God will not provide in that kind of an atmosphere. And if gasoline goes to $9 a gallon or $2 a gallon or $1.50 a gallon, and if you are putting your trust in someone or something else for your gasoline, don't wait for God to provide it because it won't come from that source. Now you can say amen or oh me, but it's true either way. All right, now turn please with me to the book of 1 Kings. Don't lose your place at Genesis 22. Just hold that and then go to 1 Kings 17. Now, when you found that, let me just draw your attention to one more aspect concerning the story of Abraham. God spoke these words unto Abraham by his angel in verse 17. He said that he had sworn that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And that leads us to point number two, which is obedience. God requires, in addition to total surrender of all of your resources and all of your dependence upon him, he also requires total and absolute obedience. Now, there's a story recorded for us in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings about the great, mighty prophet Elijah. And Elijah had spoken to King Ahab under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he said, according to my word and the words of my God, there shall not be any rain on the earth for 3.5 years. And it was true. For 3.5 years, there was no rain. And there was a great drought. And because of the great drought, there was a famine. People were starving. Elijah was one of the ones that was starving. He was hungry. He didn't have anything to eat. Verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Interesting, isn't it? He's hungry, but he's God's man. He's got a covenant with the Lord God Almighty. He's got a covenant with Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide, says to him, well, I'll tell you what you do now. If you're hungry, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go over by this brook that feeds into the Jordan, and you just stay there. You'll drink water out of the brook, and I will command my ravens. Now, how many of you know what a raven is? Okay. It's one of the most ugly, noisy, unpleasant birds. Bigger, uglier, and noisier than a crow. God says, he didn't say, I'm going to send my bluebirds. I'm going to send my blue jays. I'm going to send my hummingbirds. I'm going to send my canaries. No, he said, I'm going to send ravens. They will bring you food. I believe that if Elijah had been most of God's children, maybe that's unfair, many of God's children, I think if we'd have been in Elijah's place, we'd have said, well, now, God, if that's really you, if that's really your voice, Father, don't your ravens fly in Douglasville? Can't they bring it by my house? I live over on Yancey Road. God said this, verse 4, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Underline the word there. The ravens are not going to feed you on Yancey Road. They're not going to feed you, you see, in your tent. They're going to feed you over here where I told them to feed you. Now, if you go over there, you'll get bread and flesh every morning and every night. If you don't, you can stay here in your domicile and starve to death. But every morning and every night, I'm going to have my ravens down there by that brook. And if you're there, you can eat. But if you'll not go there, there won't be anything for you. So many times we miss God's best because we have it all figured out how He ought to do it. We have it all figured out how He ought to give it. We need some money. We have difficulty meeting our obligations. Maybe we can't buy groceries that week. Time and time again, I'll have people in our own fellowship to say to me, you know, I needed $25 to buy groceries that week. Nobody knew I needed it. And somebody gave me $25 after church on Sunday morning. Just tucked it in my hand. Or we had nothing to eat in the house from Wednesday until Saturday, but somebody came over Wednesday afternoon and just brought a chicken. We didn't know how we were going to pay our electric bill. They were threatening to shut it off, and we went to the mailbox, and there was $100 cash. Now you tell me God won't provide. God knows what you need before you ever need it. He knew you before you ever knew anything about Him. And He knows where you are and who you are and what it is that you need. But God has His own delivery system. He has His own way to get it to you. He has His own way to get it to us. And I know that with me, one of the things that I had great difficulty with as I began to, when I really met Jesus as my Savior and I began to seek Him, and especially as I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had great difficulty because I'd always been very independent. I'd always been able to do things for myself. I don't want anybody to pray for me. I'll get it myself. It's all right. I'll be okay. I'll get it myself. Just leave me alone. It's just me and God. Wasn't me and God. The Lord gave my wife a portion of Scripture out of the 13th chapter of the book of John, and it's the passage about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And at that, during those years, she was very careful about how she gave me advice because I didn't receive it very well. But she very carefully suggested that maybe there was something in that passage for me. And my reaction was very quickly, Lois, I don't have any problem washing other people's feet. I don't mind washing people's feet. She said, no, you missed it. You must be willing to let them wash yours. Sometimes it's hard for us to receive from other people. We want to receive from God in secret, you see. We want to have it done in such a way that our pride, you see, is not ever touched. We want to be able to hold on to things as they were. God won't permit that. If He says, go to the brook by Cherith, you better find yourself at the brook Cherith, or you're going to starve in your domicile outside Jerusalem. God requires obedience, total and absolute, to the jotting of every T and the dotting of every I. total and complete obedience. The word says here that Elijah, when he heard the word of the Lord, he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh every morning and every evening. Now tell me that that is not the provision of Jehovah Jireh. That he would command his birds to go out and find bread in a land riddled with famine for Elijah. There were no doubt people starving to death all over that kingdom. But Elijah, because he obeyed the words of God, drank fresh water by a clear brook, had bread and meat, flesh, twice a day. He ate better during the famine than most of the people did when the times were good. God's not stingy with his provision. And when he says he will provide, he means he'll do it. And he'll do it with the best. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel. God requires surrender, total and absolute surrender, the giving up of every one of your own resources. Then he requires obedience, doing exactly and precisely what he says when he says. And then the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, we're going to see a third thing which God requires. Reading out of the sixth chapter. And this is the familiar story about Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to read it all. It's rather lengthy, but it's a wonderful story. And I just never get tired of reading God's word. So I pray that's true for you as well. Verse 1, chapter 6, book of Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Guess whose spirit that was? Amen, huh? And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. In other words, they conspired against Daniel and said they wanted to have a decree written that if anybody prayed to anybody other than the king, that he'd be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, listen very carefully to the 10th verse. We're going to come back to it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was upon him, because he believed in his God. God is able to provide in every area of life. He provides not only for physical sustenance, but he provides also for physical protection. I want you to see this man Daniel, though, and something about him prior to his deliverance from the lion's den. Many of the people of God are quick to cry out for God in the time of trouble, quick to cry out to him in time of need, quick to cry out unto him when they're in the den of lions, when they haven't cried out to him for months prior to that. The time to be crying out to God is not when you're in the lion's den. The time to be crying out unto God and praying and seeking him is daily. So that when you get in the lion's den, you know how to reach him. And he knows how to reach you. So the third aspect I want us to see tonight out of all of these passages of Scripture, God requires, in addition to surrender and obedience, he requires service. He requires our service, our commitment unto him in service. Daniel was a man that served God every day. He gave of the best he had unto God. Three times a day he was found in his chamber praying. In the 10th verse, this blesses me so much. And I believe that this aspect right here of Daniel's life is a key which shows why many of God's people miss the provision of God. So many, unfortunately, of God's people are more concerned about what the world thinks than they are what God thinks. Now, don't say that harshly. I say it just as a matter of fact. God will not pour out the fullness of his blessings in your life unless you are willing to throw away the opinions of the world. Unless you are willing to deny the adulation of the world. Unless you are willing to disregard what the world thinks. Now here's a man that when it was time to pray, he knew that the law was issued, but he went to his house. His windows were open. Now you'd think a smart man would close the window.